You're listening to A1R Psychic Radio, Earth's number one psychic radio network, and watching Moonstruck TV and Lightning Television. Welcome. And now, Reverend Elliot's Magical Window with Reverend Elliot. Live from magic-works.com. Connect direct. In North America, dial 888-454-2751. In London, 203-519-2158. In Sydney, dial 02-8488-3147. Or online, contact us through our Facebook page, facebook.com/psychicradio.
Or one of our websites,
askoneradio.com or moonstruck.tv. This is Reverend Elliot's Magical Window on A1R, the Ask One Radio Network.
Greetings, fellow seekers of truth, wisdom, and light. This is Reverend Elliot, your friendly neighborhood esoteric practitioner, coming to you live from the city of New York, where we get together more often than not these days on Wednesdays at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. And well, we made it through another grisly day. Another dark day in American history. You know, this is, we're coming up to the anniversary of September 11th, where here in New York, almost everybody knew somebody who got killed that day. And I am no exception with that. I had a very interesting experience about that, by the way, which, I'm not doing this to tease a product. But I can't really explain it in the little time that we have here. But the whole story is in the book, Reverend Elliot Explains It All, which is about how I did a particular magic ritual about September 9th. September 10th, which is today, was the day that I was downtown in New York for jury duty, which was supposed to have me come back on September 11th, which would have put me right in the thick of that attack, right down there. But it didn't happen. And how it didn't happen, well, that's the story in the book, which you can find on eBay or at mojoacademy.org in Reverend Elliot Explains It All, because this is it's one of those weird things that if you don't believe in magical work, this might get you wondering, might get you questioning that lack of belief. Because magical work is something that human beings have done for millennia. You could argue anthropologically that it's one of the things that made us human beings. There's some people who believe that humanity, the mind took a great leap forward when some gorilla ate a magic mushroom. Now, I don't know. I've never done mushrooms. I've had the kind of life where I certainly did not need hallucinogenics to see weird things and to have weird things happen in my life. So no, I've never done that. I've kept my distance from that kind of stuff. But there's, what can I tell you? This has not been, as you know by now, probably. If you don't know, well, then it doesn't mean anything to you. But if it does mean anything to you, it doesn't matter what end of the political spectrum you're on. But it was a dark day, yet another day with somebody taken for political reasons. It's sad. It's just not, I'd like to say it's just not what we do, but apparently we do. So there you go. I've had my life threatened over the years by people, but it's when they start doing it that's the problem. The threats I can deal with, but some people say it's the price of fame. I'm writing some reminiscences about my particular period in the entertainment business, which I like to refer to as the memoirs of a has-been who never quite actually was, because I was around for a lot of stuff. And I made a nice living, but I never became famous, and I'm glad of it. Fran Lebowitz once said that, and if you don't know who Fran Lebowitz is, then that this is a perfect illustration of why you don't. She said that being a famous writer is just enough fame because it gets you the best tables in the finest restaurants, but nobody bothers you on the street. And I have seen, it's New York, so there's a lot of famous people running around, and I've seen a lot of them get harassed on the street constantly, and then there's other times when people just don't believe you. My wife to this day doesn't realize that we once had a conversation, the three of us, with Julia Roberts. she doesn't believe that that was Julia Roberts. But you know, because they don't look like you think they look. You know, the famous people when they're off duty, when the flag is down and on the cab. You know, when they're off duty, they do look very different, usually. But I've met some very nasty famous people. I've met some delightful famous people, and I'm going to be writing about that. I think a couple of the nicest people I knew were Fred Gwynne and Frank Gorshin, Robert Preston. They're you know, the people who are not nice, I'm not going to bother mentioning. I closed the iron door on those people. It's not worth it. But some of them were just such dynamite people that you can see why they became big, because they just have a magnetism about them, and they're nice to people. There's no reason not to be. Here I am shuffling up the cards almost nervously. That's the thing. I've been doing this for years and years now, and I still get nervous before each show. You know, I don't take this for granted. I enjoy doing it so much, but I get like butterflies, you know, before a performance. But I don't consider this a performance, because this is me. You know, this is just who I am and what I do. And you call me up and you talk to me about who you are and what you do. And we're just people who we're ships in the night meeting. Now, I need to talk to you about something. It's about me, of course. I wasn't here last week. And I always feel that I owe you an explanation for my bailing out on the show. And I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you precisely what happened. I've got an eye that a few years ago decided to stop working. I guess maybe it had seen enough. I have a very blasé eyeball. It has seen enough. So it turned itself off. When that happens, the human body is a remarkable thing. The human body not only tries to heal itself, but it does heal itself. I mean, you know, we've all had pretty bad diseases, illnesses, broken bones maybe, and they heal. You know, the body does that. It's remarkable. It's almost miraculous, you know, that we heal. Well, that's what my eye is trying to do. But my eye is kind of stupid, because my eye doesn't have a brain. Yeah, thank God, right? My eye is trying to heal itself. And what it does is, I had a problem with a blood vessel in the eye, and the eye decides to fix that by making new blood vessels constantly. They die off, and then they, you know, there's more and there's more. But sometimes they don't die off, and it gets awful crowded inside that eyeball, and it hurts like hell. It hurts terribly. Now, I can take aspirin for it. 3 aspirin used to knock that out, because it also got rid of swelling, you know, so that was good. My current medical condition, I am forbidden to take aspirin. So I try a few other things, you know, Tylenol. None of it works as well. So I was in agony last week. And that's why I didn't do the show. That would not be good TV, as they used to call it in the TV business. To sit here screaming. First of all, that would scare people. It'd scare the hell out of people if they say, well, would you please look at my cards? And then I lay out the cards and then I scream. Now, how would you feel? No. You don't want to do that. That would be like a practical joke that a card reader would play, which is to look at the cards and say, oh, no. But, you know, when people come to you for a reading, they're opening up their heart to you. And you just don't want to do that. I mean, I would hope you don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to scare people. I'm not here to scare people. And you'll notice that mostly I get very positive readings, which is kind of dull, you know, but most people have good lives. Life works out, you know. I once brought a room of people to tears. They were playing a psychological game. Some women from like Nebraska, you know. They were playing a psychological game. They were trying to do a number on me. Okay. This was long ago. This was in the 70s. You weren't born yet. And we were supposed to say something that was true. And I kept telling them that everything always works out fine in the end. And no matter what argument they gave me, I said, everything works out fine in the end, until they were all crying because they knew I was right. I mean, things do work out fine. Now, you know, and I know that if you hurt yourself or if something really bad happens to you, and somebody says to you, well, it's a blessing in disguise, you know you really got shafted. Because they don't buy that. But, you know, I didn't make this up. It's always darkest before the dawn. Things work out well. Have you thought about the times in your life when you were really down and it was just awful? But you're here still, right? And theoretically, you're doing okay, I guess. This is what I mean, is that it's we're not in any position to judge the vicissitudes of life as they're vicissituding on us all over us, you know. And I don't like when people say things like, and I discuss this a lot with people, which is like, well, if you're grieving, you've grieved enough. I don't like that. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. Richard Alpert, otherwise known as Baba Ramdas, said something so brilliant that the first time I heard it, I thought, why didn't I think of that? It's because he's brilliant, and, you know, you're adequate, you know. He said, I'm tired of people shoulding all over me. Now, yes, it's a pun, but I get it. You get it too, don't you? People shoulding, you should do this, you should do that. Gosh, I've got the hiccups and the heartburn from pain medications. You shouldn't do this, you should. Be a good little girl, be a good little boy. I knew a woman who had a peculiar habit. It's just a safe story to tell. When she laughed, she had a habit of laughing when something was funny. Now, that's not the peculiar part, as you can imagine. The peculiar part is she would apologize. I'm so sorry. She was somewhere along the line, she was trained to apologize for laughing. I don't know about you, but laughing at things is one of my favorite things to do. And I don't mean in a sarcastic, nasty way. I mean, like in a watching Laurel and Hardy or The Three Stooges or W.C. Fields, which I have yet to meet a woman who appreciates W.C. Fields. It's hard enough to find a woman who likes The Three Stooges. They're just stupid. Well, yeah, that's the point, you know. They're stupid people, you know. That was the whole deal. Stupid people who think they're smart. There's a late, you could find this on YouTube somewhere. There's a very late in life interview with Mo Howard. And a guy says, do you hit your wife in the face with pies? And he's aghast. He says, I would never do a thing like that. What's the matter with you? You know, because he was an actor. You know, he was just an actor. He acted stupid. And he played a stupid person who thought he was smart. You know, it's very funny. But some people get trained to do these things, to apologize after laughing. You know, I put in my time in purgatory as a stand-up comic many years ago, and could you imagine if I felt guilty every time I got people to laugh? Not that I did it with any great consistency, I might add, but I had my moments. People used to say to me, "Well, what did you do? What kind of a performer were you?" I said, "It's just like a just listen and ask one radio. I would just get up there and talk. That was it. That was my shtick, was just to talk. I dug it, you know. I had a few good years there, and I liked it, but." It's not the kind of thing that I figured I would be able to advance in. Now, there's a funny thing is that I knew a comedian, a woman who was a dancer, and she became very famous as a comedian. Her name was Rita. And every time she was interviewed, people would say, "Well, it must be wonderful living your dream." And she'd say, "Good Lord, no. The comedy wasn't my dream. What kind of a crackpot dreams of that?" So it was a practical decision. I liked entertaining, she said, and I was a dancer. And I looked around. She had been on Broadway, and I looked around, she said, and I saw that there's more old comedians than old dancers. So she decided to be a comedian, and she studied up on it very methodically. And that's one way to do it. And she became a dynamite comic. She became a killer. She had an aptitude for it from her first, I saw her first performance, you know, unbelievably good. But it wasn't living your dream, you know, and that's what many people are hung up on that. I got to live my dream. Now, do you think I dreamed that one day I would be doing this, sitting here talking to you, reading tarot cards? No, I fell into this. I never believed in the expression, keep your eye on the prize. Because then you'll miss everything else along the journey. And you don't know. You know, and I've lost friends over that attitude. When I started as a it just makes me laugh. I'm sorry. It makes me laugh. When I got work as a screenwriter. I had a friend who studied screenwriting in college. He majored in it and he couldn't get work. And I said, what are you doing it for? How are you doing it? I said, well, they asked me to do it. I figured the producers thought I could do it. And if they thought I could do it, they're going to pay me an awful lot of money to do it. I'll do it. And, you know, we never heard from that person again. This was a friend. See, so just see where life is willing to take you. Because as we've learned today, it can be preciously short, because there are people out there who aren't going to like you. That's, you know, don't waste your time trying to win people over. Be as nice as you can to as many people as you can, and be authentic to yourself. Read Hamlet's Polonius's advice to the players, not Hamlet. It's Polonius, right? To thine own self be true, things like that. Don't saw the air too much. But no. Be yourself, which is a very difficult thing to be, monumentally difficult to be. But, you know, when opportunity comes, grab it, you know? If you don't have the ability to do something and you fail at it, so what? You tried. But if you succeed at it, then, you know, you're fine. You'll be all right. Oh, that's how I got through all my life. That's how I got through every advancement, every job, every interesting thing I ever got. Can you do this? Here's what we'll pay you. Hand me my fountain pen. I'll sign on the dotted line. And I did. What's the worst they could do? Fire me? How incompetent could I be? They wanted me. Then they were the incompetent people. It's a thing, you know. It doesn't hurt to plan, but don't be rigid about your plans, because the world is a remarkable place and there are opportunities waiting for you that you never dreamed of at all. And I would urge you to give it a try. Don't be afraid. Try it. There's nothing to fear. Just try it. We're here to life. As Auntie Mame said, and I'll clean it up a little bit because I'm wearing a collar. Life is a banquet, and most poor souls are starving to death. See? It's great advice, man. That and don't let people should all over you. So we're all shuffled up now. I've explained why I wasn't here. I've explained that light, you know, as the great occult writer Israel Regardi was wont to say, life's a funny old dog. You know, I'll show you this in a couple of weeks, but I didn't. You can go see it at my eBay store, which you find a link to at my website, magic-works.com. But I sold several of this new talking board I made. Now, I don't call it a Ouija board because that's a trade name, and I don't want to use a trademark name. It's a talking board, a spirit board. I made a special one for Halloween, and I've already sold several of them, and I just mailed them off today at the post office. I had a great old time. I love making things and mailing them out to people. It's like arts and crafts in kindergarten again. You know, I just love it. And I'll be happy to do that with you sometime too. Just my collection at eBay is growing. Some of you know the story about how I ditched Amazon. They were not nice to me. They were very not nice to me. And I don't tend to appreciate people who are not nice to me. You don't have to be a sycophant, but just, you know, don't go out of your way to be nasty to me. That's all I ask. I don't ask much. There you go, right? So let's ring a bell three times to declare sacred space. And now we'll pull back the curtain on the magical window for Kayla in Zion Grove, Pennsylvania. Hi, you're on with Reverend Elliot.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you tonight, Kayla?
I'm doing pretty good. This is my first time calling into your show, actually.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, it's my first time talking to you, so we're even, right? What can I look at for you?
I guess, basically, what do my spirit guides want me to know at this time, pretty much?
Oh, excellent question. Well, these are interesting cards here, because not necessarily reading them in any particular order, the Two of Swords is here, which is like a period of stalemate. Nothing is happening. Things that you want to have happening, things are not moving. Is that what you are now?
Yes.
Okay, well, the Three of Coins is here too. Now, the Three of Coins, you can take it very literally or symbolically. It's about something new coming into your life that you will work at and you will succeed at, and you will be recognized for that success, and it'll lead to other things. If it's a job, it could be a new position in the job. It could be a promotion. It could be a new job altogether, or it doesn't necessarily have to be a job. It's something new in your life that you're good at. And you'll handle it, and you'll be recognized for it, and you'll succeed. The next card there is the Nine of Cups, which is a card of great fulfillment. See, this guy's happy here in this card. It's a card of emotional satisfaction and enjoying the good things in life, and doing well. And the overall card I have for this is the Sun. I get that so often for people that it just really... It boosts my feeling for humanity. It's a card of healing and health and growth and happiness. So if there's anything that you feel is kind of holding you back or stunting your growth, this is going to be you smiling and happy as you get out of that and you grow and you heal. So if there's anything in your life that you want to heal from, it's here, and you're going to heal from it, okay?
Okay.
So that seems to be the message.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Anything else you want to look at?
What's my biggest obstacles, like my biggest blocks right now?
Oh, well...
Getting to move forward.
Well, that's an interesting question. And have you had some... big disappointments in your life lately?
Yes.
Okay, because that's it. This is the Nine of Swords, which is a card of sadness. So now I don't know if that's so much as an obstacle as much as it's something that you're going to need to work through. But don't be too concerned about it, because you have also here right after that the Star. That's a card of health and hope and optimism. The High Priestess is here, which okay. tells me that you're a person of very spiritual power, very great spiritual power. So the only thing that may be holding you back at the moment is a bit of, is sadness for things that have happened. But I don't see that really holding you back, if you know what I mean. You'll deal with it. And that might be the thing in the Sun, because that's a dark card, the Nine of Swords. It's very dark, but the Sun is bright and happy. So I think you're going to overcome it beautifully. Now, you're going to be entering a period of emotional well-being. That's the Ace of Cups. Mm-hmm. Aces are beginnings and cups are emotion. So I think that if you've had any emotional blocks, you're going to overcome those.
Okay.
Okay. And you're going to do it very successfully, I might add, with the Six of Rods. That's a card of triumph and success. So you're going to get around that. You asked exactly the right question, and the answer is beautiful, because you're going to deal with it, and you're going to surpass it. Okay.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Just keep very positive, and you'll be okay. I know it's hard to remain very positive when negative things happen, but that's something that we can will to do, and I see that you have that ability. So thank you so much for calling.
Great.
Bye bye now.
Thank you.
My Bye-bye. Pleasure. Bye. Now let's shuffle them up. That was an excellent question, by the way. And it's funny how these cards just get right to the heart of things. We're shuffling them up again. And Farah in Washington, D.C. is next. Hi, you're on with Reverend Elliot.
Hi.
Hi, you're sounding awful chipper for a town that's under military occupation. That's how the news puts it sometimes, you know. You're a little scary.
I know, me too.
I mean, well, we have the National Guard in our subways now too, so I guess we're all being taken over, right? But I hope things are improving. So what can I look at for you?
So I have two questions. One, I lost my job in March, and since then I'm unemployed. I want to know when I will get a job. And secondly, when I will get married. I just broke up with my boyfriend, so I don't know if he's going to come back or someone else going to come back into my life.
Well, let me tell you something. I just pulled two cards here that answer both questions.
Okay.
First is the Ten of Swords. That's a pretty nasty looking card.
Okay.
But it's good. You know, it means life has thrown its worst at you, and you're about to get up and get going again. So you're still here. Great. That's about the job problem. So that's going to end. The worst is over, is okay. what that means. The next card is the Page of Cups. Cups are happiness, mm-hmm. romance, mm-hmm. love, and a page is the appearance of something new. In the court cards, you go from the knight to the queen to the king to the page, with the knight being theoretical, and it gets more solid as you go along. It's the mm-hmm. Page of Cups is the appearance of something new in the realm of romance. So you see? You asked exactly the right question. So something's coming. You're going to meet somebody, and romance is just around the corner, and your job troubles are going to be over soon. Now, that's about mm-hmm. all. I don't need any other cards for that. That's beautiful. You know, that's a great reading. Is there anything else you want
Perfect.
To look at?
Yeah,
the cards like you.
For my boyfriend.
The cards like you is what I say. So, they responded exactly to what you asked.
Well, that's good. But the boyfriend part, is he going to be the old one or someone going to new come?
Well, the page involves something new. So I would say okay. that's more likely. But let's see. Let me just cut the deck here. No, I mean, I'm not getting an indication there, but I do have the Four of Rods, which is about a happy home and joy and contentment and being with somebody. It's looking very good. Oh gosh. The Ace of Cups now. See, the Page of Cups and the Ace of Cups are indications mm-hmm. of romance coming. Both of them is strong, or are strong. Both of them am strong, let's say, or are strong. Gosh. But yeah, now you're going to like this one. When people ask about romance, and this card mm-hmm. shows up, which is the Hierophant, which is the High Priest, that signifies marriage.
Yay!
So I think you're on your way to something really good. And once again, here's that card, the Sun, health and healing and growth and happiness. Your outlook is very bright, very good. So,
thank you.
I think it's wonderful. Now, this is really good. The key though is that ugly looking card though, that means the worst is over. So that's good. You've been through a bad period, and you're going to come out of that, and you're going to do quite well, okay?
That's great. For the job, can you tell me a time frame when I will find it?
Well, let's take a look. But according to the array of cards that I got, it's on the way, because the bad times are ending. It's the Nine of Rods is here, and that's a person who's prepared for what's coming. So if there's any field that you specialize in, it's probably going to be in that area. Okay. So that's good. I'm not getting anything in time. I paused for a second because of this. That's the Ace of Rods. That means a new career, new job. I told you, the cards like you.
Great.
So you're going to get something that you're very, very, very well suited for. How's that?
Sounds wonderful.
Oh, well, so, you know, all this wonderful news must sound boring to the listeners, but it's good, isn't it? It feels good, doesn't it? Here's another.
That's great.
This is another ace. The Ace of Cups. The Ace of Swords is also that you're starting to see things differently. Mentality. It's mental activity. This might be what's triggering all the good things that are about to happen, is that your outlook on the world is changing. Okay, so that's, you're growing, and that's very good. Okay, and that leads to this card, which is the Ten of Cups, probably the happiest card in the deck, which is about a home and family and children and just beautiful, all the good stuff in life. Okay, so hang in there, because it's coming. This preponderance of cards is so good that it's going to be soon. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye bye now. The doctor who delivered me 10,000 years ago, once I lived long enough to get to know him, and he told me that he was terrified every time he delivered a child. And I was thinking, oh, great. What do you think it's going to be? They're all going to turn out like me? You know? But no, he was always, the first thing he did, it was just a fetish he had. As soon as the child was born, he would count the toes and the fingers, because he always expected bad stuff. And bad stuff never came. And that's how it is with card readers. You know, we're prepared to give bad news. And yet, look how positive all these readings are. Now, why is that, you suppose? And I have a theory. My theory is that the people who call are asking for help. People who ask for help get help. People who ask for help are resourceful. People who ask for help are not afraid to ask for help, or they wouldn't be asking for help. So things are going to work out better for them than for the person who just sits and stews about problems, you know. As soon as you take this step to consult even cards, isn't that a silly thing? It sounds silly, doesn't it? I'm going to ask some cards, you know, and then the men in the white coats come and take you away, right? But you hear it. These things are right on the money. They work. And I think that the reason that there's such a good outcome in so many readings is that people have a healthy outlook on life if they can ask for help, if they ask for people. In the years that I've been doing this on Ask One Radio, which is only a fraction of the years that I've been doing this, but it's many years now, well over 400 shows. I only twice didn't want to do a reading on the air for the person, and that wasn't because it was bad. It was just very personal, and I didn't think they would want, people all over the world to listen to that. So I called them privately. And, didn't charge them, of course. I mean, that would be awful, if I could work somebody into a state of concern like that and then charge them to do a reading. You'll notice that I don't charge much because I don't, to the callers, I don't charge anything. Oh, look at that. See, I dropped another card. Oh, man. This clumsy old man here. Oh, come on. This is beautiful television, right? Just reaching down for cards and pulling plugs out of your ear, and come on, I know you're down there. I saw you a moment ago. Ah, well. Maybe it's a bad card and we don't want to read it anyway. Oh, there it is. Actually, it's two good cards too. Oh, man, I'm just getting so clumsy in my dotage. So anyway, that's, I got to stop doing that. I'm going to leave this thing out of my ear for the moment because it got stuck in my head, the silicone ear cushion. But I can still hear you, folks. Deanne in Boston is next. Hi, you're on with Reverend Elliot.
Hello, Reverend Elliot. My name is Deanne. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I
haven't been to Boston in years, but I have always enjoyed it when I would go.
It's a beautiful place.
Oh, yeah. And history laden everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. What can I look at for you?
Well, I am just suffering with extreme loneliness. I am 37 years old. I have been single for the past 3 years. And mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you saw my love life improving at all. I really miss my ex-fiance. And I have a crush on this guy. His name is Albie. He's a Virgo, and I write to him, but I never receive a response back. So I'm just kind of in limbo. I have nothing really going on for me. I have a date for tomorrow, for Friday night, actually. But I'm not sure.
Well,
where things are going to end up.
I see that in terms of romance, I got the Knight of Cups here. Cups are about affairs of the heart and romance. The Knight of Cups is very erratic, so it's up and down, hit or miss, and you haven't hit anything stable yet, have you?
No, not all.
Yeah, well, but
it's been 30 years of this.
Well, you will, I'm sure. First of all, I had this card earlier. It's the Ten of Swords. That means the worst is over. So should be okay. The Two of Coins is here too, which I'm going to take metaphorically more than literally about money. That's about trying to get something started, trying to get something moving in life, trying to get it going, which is good. You're working on it. That's what counts. That's the only thing that really counts in life is working at it, instead of giving up. The ten of Swords is important because that signifies the rough times are over. Things are going to get better from here on in. So that's worth knowing. But you see, you don't need me to tell you this. Is the Four of Swords? That's a period of like stagnation and nothing is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The Nine of Cords, the Nine of Coins, is a card of a person who is who's kind of comfortable being alone, but would rather not be, you know, but you could, you know, you're not panicking about it, which is good, because you know, there's nothing scares people away than that air of desperation. Wouldn't you agree? So you're not giving off those vibes, but I think you're on the right path to getting what you want, because I've got the Eight of Cups here, and that's a person who is walking away from things in her life that are not working and going towards the things that are. So that's very good. That helps. Now, on the plus side again, here is the Ace of Cups. That means that something new is coming in terms of romance and affairs of the heart and emotions. So that's good too. Okay, so hang in there. I don't see anything bad. I don't see anything like causing people to run away from you. It's just the, you know, it's the luck of the draw, you know. So I mean, I was pretty much single for 3 years, like you. You know, you mentioned that, right? 3 years, and I met somebody, and we've been together now 40 years. So it can happen, you know. It certainly can happen. So we don't know what we're destined for, you know. So hang in there. I'm not seeing anything bad, but I do see that things are coming. It's fomenting around you. There's the Eight of Cups tells me you're working on it, and it's going to be fine. You're going to succeed. The Ace of Cups is about the appearance of something new romantically. The Nine of Coins, you know, you're not freaking out being alone, but you'd rather not be. The Four of Swords is saying that nothing's going to really be happening immediately, but it will be happening. And the Ten of Swords tells me that life has thrown its worst at you, and you're still here, and you're doing fine. The Knight of Cups.
Do you know what the time frame for that? Like that?
Well, it's happening now. I mean, it's in the process of happening. You see, it's not a matter of like it's going to be in this season or that. I could do that if we had an awful lot of time and I spread the cards out in a very complicated way, which is really, even then, it's not worth doing, because these things are in motion. Let's put it that way. It's all in motion now. So the key is the Ace of Cups. That means it's something good is beginning and it's coming. Okay. That's, not like at some point it's coming, that's what it is, you know. It's on the way, so that's good to see too. The Five of Cups is an interesting card. Oh great, this is the one card in the deck that really indicates, by the way, forget the Five of Cups for a second, the Eight of Rods. That means what we're discussing is on the way right now. It's exactly what that means. You know, see, the cards are saying it's coming. The Five of Cups is about somebody who's a little bit still not fixated on, but concerned with something and a romance that didn't work out. But it's only a partial loss. It's not as bad as you might think, and you will waken to the possibilities of other people very shortly. Okay. So if it's still something that's bothering you or hurting you, or distracting you, that's going to fade away in time, and that'll free you up from any attachments to things that are gone. Okay.
Yeah.
And that'll help a lot, you know. That'll help. So keep that in mind, because these are cards that indicate, especially with the Eight of Rods there, that what you want is on the way. It's definitely on the way. There's no two ways about it. It's coming. And that's because you're working on it. It's because of the Eight of Cups. It's that you're making it happen. So you know, give yourself a round of applause and think about that, okay?
Yeah, wonderful.
Let me know how it works out. You know, if you meet somebody, give me a call if you can't get through, you can contact me at my site. Through Ask One Radio or Reverend Elliot's Magical Window or magic-works.com. You can find me and just, you know, remind me that you're in Boston and you're waiting. And I said when somebody shows up that I would pull some cards for you. Okay, we'll do that. No charge, of course.
Wonderful. Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Stay in touch. Okay.
Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. I hope it comes soon.
Oh, it's on the way. These cards say that it's coming.
Fantastic.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And we're all shuffled up now, and you know, this is sometimes we're destined to meet people. Here's something freaky about that. I mentioned I 40 years ago I met somebody, and there was an instant bond between us. And the weird part is, I may have mentioned this before. I may mention it a lot, for all I know. I'm a stream of consciousness guy, and I don't keep track of this thing. But recently, I looked at ancestor.com, I think at one of those places, you know, I don't think it was that one particularly, but I found out that my wife and I have something in common. Her father's great, great, great grandparents and my mother's great, great, great grandparents lived in the same county in Europe. Now, what are the odds of that? That we would be brought together in New York, you know? But there it is, you know, it happened, you know. It's almost as if our DNA was screaming, Landsman, you know, here you are. So never count yourself out, you know. It's remarkable. The world. Haldane, J.D. Haldane, was that his name? Said the universe is not only stranger than we know, it's stranger than we can know. And things like that get me believing it. Well, we've got a few minutes left, so let's go to Marissa in Minnesota. Hi, Marissa, you're on with Reverend Elliot.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you tonight?
Thanks for having me.
Oh,
I'm doing
pleasure.
Well,
what can I look at for you?
So, I mean, it's very interesting that you've been talking about relationships and been talking about being drawn to each other, because that's actually why I'm calling. I have a late fiance who passed about 7 years ago.
I'm so sorry.
And we have three children, and I ended up remarrying, and I married his cousin. Mm-hmm. And me and him have been married for several years now, and we've been going through a lot of hardships in our marriage, and we ended up getting separated for 5 months. And we thought we were as good as divorced until one day I, on the way to the courthouse to drop off the papers, I texted him and asked him, is this really what you want? And now he's back in the house, and we're kind of, you know, working on our marriage again. And it's like we have this, like, me and him keep saying that, like, we're just drawn to each other. It's like this connection we can't give up. And I love my, you know, my children's father, my late fiance, and then watching my relationship with Zach, and, that's my husband's name is Zach. And I just kind of like, I feel like, is this the path that, like, I'm supposed to be on, you know, is working on our marriage?
I'm starting to believe that there are more paths than we know of or suspect that exist. And part of that is, for years, science derided the Lamarckian theory of inherited characteristics in terms of, you know, that you know, if you cut off the tail of 1,000 mice, eventually the mice will have no tail. Well, of course, that never happened. But there are things, we don't have time to go into that now because I don't want to shortchange you on the reading, but there is look up epigenetics sometimes. This is a whole new field that science denied, but they gave it a new scientific name, so then it's real, you know. But we carry in our DNA everything that happened to all of our ancestors, which is heavy going, man. You know, it's, they're in there. They're definitely in there. I'll tell some stories about that sometime, about things that I said to my parents as a child that freaked them out. But, you know, this whole idea that my wife's family and my family were neighbors, you know, generations ago. That kind of stuff makes you wonder, don't you think? Because you, what you're feeling is the same thing. Now, you know, I had a marriage that went bad, and that there was no two ways about it. That was bad. Yeah, but this is a whole different thing, you know. And so there are forces that drive us that we just don't recognize. And science has denied for so many years, and now they see it's real. So the way science deals with something that turns out to be real is that they give it a scientific name. Anyway, that there could be forces at work between the two of you, and you and that family, in fact, that nobody knows. You know, so we can't dismiss that kind of stuff, can we? You know, we do so at our own risk. So what would you like to look at tonight? I've got a few minutes.
Just if, like, if this path that I'm on, if it's going to be like a, you know, I don't want it to be too difficult. You know, is this going to be an easier path? Is this going to be something that we're supposed to be doing? Or, you know, I don't know. Just kind of like, what's to come?
Well, the first card I have is the High Priestess, which tells me that you are actually a person who's very connected with the spiritual side of the world. That's very important, because you are you're almost a mystical entity yourself. Now keep that in mind. That's where these other powers are from. And the Six of Rods is here. It says you're going to be very successful at what you want. So that's very good too. Unfortunately, I have like a minute left, but I'm just leaving you with this, because the next card indicates that you're about to enter a whole new period of in your life, and followed by the Ten of Cups, which is about great happiness and joy. So I think you're on the right track. And part of it is that you're a very spiritual person. You know, you're in touch with the other side, so to speak.
Yeah.
So you might want to learn about developing that if you haven't. But you feel it, don't you?
Oh, I do. I have dreams. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, definitely.
Dreams is where it comes from. Dreams is exactly where it comes from. If you drop me a line, my email is asktarot@earthlink.net. It's one word, asktarot@earthlink.net.
T-A-R-O-W?
T-A-R-O-T. Or get me through ask1radio.com. You know, just Google Reverend Elliot's Magical Window. You'll find a way to get in touch with me. And I will be
happy to send
you some information about books on this stuff, okay? But I've got to run. I've got a half a minute left. So thanks a lot for calling. And the news is good.
Thanks.
Bye-bye now. And that's it. We've come to the end of Reverend Elliot's Magical Window. We have hit the wall. So I've got to run. But until we get together next week at 11 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific, 10 Pluto time, I'm losing track of all this. You know, I'm getting giddy, right? I will see you again next week. Until then, remember, time flies. It's up to you to be the navigator. Bye-bye now.